For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
He cares, he died for us, it wasn't fair. Now serving him is just our share of a sweet love affair. We used to search for happiness, we searched for years in vain. We were acquainted with the Lord, but all we knew his name. He was just a holy man, we really did not understand. But now we pray and know his plan is a sweet love affair. We're very proud to call him ours, he saved us from our sins. And you'll be proud to call him yours, just give your life to cares about your life. Don't doubt the love of Jesus Christ. Look at the cross, he paid the price for a sweet love affair. It's a sweet love affair.
Over the years, I have been preaching on assurance of salvation. And I believe as we get closer to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ, people will start to question their salvation because they will see the handwriting on the wall. Yes, many people who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ have a problem with unbelief. Many are in doubt whether they're really born again. When they fall into sin, they feel they have maybe missed God, or maybe they have assumed they were Christians and that was only an illusion. Well, the Bible teaches us that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. If we put our trust in the finished work of the cross, then we become his children. If we turn away from our religious ideologies and our sin, then we become the children of God through the grace of God and through the power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's the way salvation goes. And once a person becomes born again, he becomes a new creation in Christ. He then is sealed unto the day of redemption. And then from then on, he is seated in heavenly places. Yes, that's what the Bible teaches. The born again experience is a finished work. We cannot add on to it, and we cannot subtract from it. Our spirit has been reborn. It has been made totally new. There is a difference between the soul and the spirit. It's the spirit man that becomes born again. Even though we will have problems with our in our soulish realm. And we need to understand that. And today I'll teach on this subject. Before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of the listeners so that they can see and understand. Lord God, your word is still the same as it was yesterday. And Father, your word is true. I thank you for the word, and I pray that you will give me the ability to open the word to people's understandings today. I thank you for your grace. I ask you to bless the listeners today. In Jesus' name, amen. When one studies the word of God and really understands salvation, we can see how totally a man becomes a new creation in Christ. But at the same time, even when you're born again and seated in heavenly places, that new man in his soulish realm and in his physical body can almost turn away from God and fall into sin, even though he still remains sinless in the eyes of God and born again by the Spirit of God. And I will read to you out of the Word of God that will prove to you what I am saying is true. It tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Any person with a little bit of honesty himself will understand that even as born-again Christians, we do sin. But what does it mean we cannot sin? It simply means that even if you sin, this sin has absolutely no effect on you. It cannot separate you from God. So in the eyes of God, the born-again believer cannot sin. You can grieve God, but you cannot take away your salvation and become unborn again. You cannot sin anymore because the seed of God has now been planted into you. But for those who don't know the Lord, there's an interesting scripture out of John chapter 3, verse 36. "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him." That means the wrath of God is still there and will always be there until you turn to Christ. And if you don't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, then the wrath of God will remain on you and never will be taken away. Thus, you'll end up in the lake of fire where the Bible teaches you will be tormented day and night forever and ever, because this is the penalty of anybody who does not become born again. The wrath of God abides upon him. So scripture is very clear. A person who is born again cannot sin. But the person who is not born again, the wrath of God will abide upon him throughout eternity. That's what scripture teaches. We have to take scripture at face value here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul gives us an interesting description of the believer. He tells us in verse 9, Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And when one is honest with himself, he will look at these descriptions here and will have to admit, yes, I am one of those, because the word covetous is in here and it tells us, if you covet, then you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Who on this earth can say that he does not covet something? And who can honestly say that he is not an idolater? What's idolatry? If you spend more time in sports than you do with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're almost in idolatry. And many, many people have problems with different things in life somehow spending more time and paying more attention to the things of this world than to God. That makes us idolaters, even though we're born again. In a sense, we somehow hold some things very dear and very close to our hearts that people will wonder if you love your toy or one of your things that you love more than you love God. And I believe many of us are guilty of that in one time or another. But it tells us here in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Even though we have trouble with this stuff, it tells us, but you are washed, you are justified, you are sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This is what happens when a person becomes born again. The sins that you do commit in the flesh are simply ignored by God when it comes to your salvation. Oh yes, there's consequences here in this life when you do sin. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul tells us, that's why some of you are sick. And that's why some of you die prematurely, because you do not live right. This is what the Bible is trying to teach us. In verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful on for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And it tells us in the very same epistle in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 23, it tells us, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. They are not good for you, even though you're allowed to do them. And some may say, this is giving you a license to sin. No, that's not giving you a license to sin. I'm just stating facts here, right out of the Word of God. And anybody who takes that as a license to sin, I believe in my heart, is truly not born again by the Spirit of God. Because I believe a person who is truly born again will try to keep himself from sin, never mind receiving a license to sin. And I will take this description of the born again believer a step further. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, it tells us, know you not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For the two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So he tells us very clearly here, it is possible to be joined unto the Lord in the spirit, you, your spirit, and God's spirit being one, but your body and the harlot's body being one. That is very interesting. This is what Scripture is teaching here. It tells us, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication, it says. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Then he goes on to say, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You don't belong to yourself anymore. So therefore glorify God both in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is what Scripture is teaching. So if there's anybody out there who has fallen into sin and you wonder whether you're truly born again, well, seek the face of God and repent. And if you have accepted Jesus and you really meant it from your heart, then even if you fell into sin, it does not really matter. The Lord will forgive you. And the Lord has saved you, and he is willing that nobody perishes. This is why he tells us that neither life, nor death, nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, will be able to separate us from the love of God which Christ Jesus has towards us. This is what I'm reading out of Scripture. This is the way it is with the born-again believer. Regardless how far you fall, you cannot fall away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot escape his loving arms once you have entrusted your life to him. He will keep you and never forsake you. He will not break that covenant that you made with him. Even though you fall, even though you will let go of him, he will not let go of you. This is what the Bible teaches. This is why it tells us, he that is born of God sinneth not. He cannot sin because the seed of God remains in you. So seek the Lord out today. If you have fallen, if you think you have fallen from grace, I feel in my heart I'm speaking to somebody who thinks he has stepped over the line. No, you have not stepped over the line. If you have accepted Jesus and have been born again, you are still his and will be his throughout eternity. The Lord will open your heart to this awesome truth and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen. One. hears messages like I've just preached, or even when somebody reads it in Scripture himself, you may wonder, how far can a person go before the Lord will say, enough is enough? I know for many who have fallen into sin, this is good news to them because they know that God will never leave them or forsake them. But for the average Christian who tries to keep himself from the wickedness of this world, he will ask himself, how far can a person go before God will say enough is enough? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible teaches us that we should not drink the cup of the Lord unworthily. And he that does drinketh damnation to himself. I would interpret this, if you're born again by the Spirit of God, and you prove it by taking the Lord's Supper, and you know for a fact that you're born again, and then you will still live a careless life, falling into sin, and not really caring about the things of God. The question is, how far will God allow you to go? It tells us in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This damnation means he is bringing death upon his own physical body. For it tells us, for this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many die, or many sleep, it says here. For if you would judge ourselves, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. It makes it very clear here that if we live like this, then God has to judge us. And this is why some of us are sick and so many prematurely die, because they don't live right for God. It says, if we would judge ourselves, if we would take a look at ourselves and repent, then God would not judge us. He would not allow this death, sickness, or disease to come upon us. But if he judges us, it means we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Because the Bible teaches us very clearly, God chastens these he loves. And if he does not chasten us, then we are not his sons, but we belong to the devil. So this is very clearly written here. We need to understand that, and we need to build our standards for God so that God will not have to allow Satan to bring destruction into our lives. And that can go into a few generations, for he will visit the transgression of somebody to the third and fourth generation. And that this is what I believe is happening. This is why so many people today who are born again and have sickness and disease, they have inherited in many cases from the iniquities of their fathers. This is what the Bible seems to be teaching, and we need to put a stop to that by living righteously and holy for our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, God is warning us. He's coming back soon for his bride, and he wants to take a bride unto himself that is not going to be ashamed. So let's do our best to live righteously for him and to lead others to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we know when we watch the news, it's almost closing time. Jesus is coming back for his bride in the very near future. The Lord will open your heart to this awesome truth and make you a blessing to many. Amen.
He lifted my burden, the Calvary. He carried them high upon.
Support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.
Glory, glory, happy, oh God, is cool.